This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL, headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Football Nation. Football Nation is all football all the time. Bill Enright here along with Todd DeVries. Todd, we have a great, fun-filled show for Week 9. The Patriots are on a bye, but there's plenty of NFL matchups for this week, and of course, we'll spend some time helping everyone out there with their fantasy football lineups, especially since we were off the air on Tuesday with our fantasy football champ show. We'll spend a little extra time today helping everyone out there with their teams as we get closer to Week 9. Plus, obviously, we'll reveal the Football Nation power rankings, and we want to hear what everyone plans on doing during the Patriots bye week. Also, special guest today, Albert Breer of the NFL Network will join us to discuss Week 9 in the NFL, and Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts will be on later to preview some of the games. Todd, before we get into Week 9, how you holding up after this Hurricane Sandy?
Yeah, well, we're both located here on the East Coast, and I was, you know, relatively unscathed at my location here. No major power outages. Unlike you, Mr. Bill, you have been scrambling all week to find some power.
Power outages, gas shortage. It's been a little bit chaotic in my neck of the woods, but I'm very excited. You know, what's so great about sports is it gives you a chance to, you know, take a little break from the real life drama and you know, get your mind off things for a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it all worked out. I mean, we had pre-planned not to have the Tuesday show because of the Patriots bye and the other schedule programming on this channel.
Right.
And it turned out to be a pretty good thing because I don't know that we could have pulled it off. That was right in the heart of the storm. Anyway, I hope everyone out there is safe and, you know, trying to rebuild any damage that they had. And, man, it was a whopper.
The number to reach us is 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. And you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Again, we'll be taking your fantasy football calls and emails throughout the show. But, Todd, I think we should start off with the Football Nation Power Rankings.
Yeah, man. It was, you know, it was a pretty interesting weekend last week. I know we're going back 4 or 5 days now to Sunday. But a lot of interesting games. Some of those bottom feeder teams are starting to make a little bit of noise, Bill. And let's get started with those bottom five. We'll start at number 28 and work our way down
Sounds good.
The cellar dweller. At number 28, Bill, you know, it's they aren't too terrible if you look at the record. But the Oakland Raiders, we slotted them in as the fifth worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, we did. I realize that they're 3-4 now. I think that's absolutely incredible. But you know what? They beat the Kansas City Chiefs for their third win in the season. Now, they did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers once upon a time, but I think that was kind of a weird game for the Steelers, and the Raiders played one of their best games of the year. That was back a few weeks ago. So, to me, Oakland Raiders still in the bottom five. I can't see them really making a lot of noise second half of the season.
Well, the two of the three wins are against teams that we're about to announce on this list. So,
that's never a good thing.
You know, but honestly, you know, the bottom four teams were pretty much no-brainers, and putting that fifth team in there, you kind of had to, you know, just plug somebody in. So the Raiders get the spot. At number 29, Bill, those Cleveland Browns, and as predicted by somebody here on this show.
You're just Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. I predicted a victory for those Browns last week over the Chargers. North Turner, I am no fan of North Turner, as everyone knows by now.
Yeah.
He just can't get the job done. The Chargers went to Cleveland and played one of the worst games of the year. 7-6, Bill.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
So, anyway, the Browns are number 29 on our list. Number 30 on our list, Bill, your preseason Super Bowl representative from the NFC, the Cam Newton-led Carolina Panthers. Defend yourself, sir.
I can't. I really can't defend myself at this point, Todd. I tried to do it for the first, you know, 7 weeks of the season, but every week it just gets worse and worse for the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton comes out with his ridiculous outfits during his press conferences. I don't know what's worse, his outfits during his press conferences or his on-field performance. Maybe they can get things going here in Week 9 against the Washington Redskins, but to me, Carolina Panthers, again, I predicted that they would go to the Super Bowl this year. That's how impressed I was with Cam Newton as a rookie, but in my mind, they didn't take two steps back. They took two giant leaps back. And
well, Let me defend you a little bit here, okay?
Right.
Yeah, they're 1-6
yes.
Right now. But their last four games were all against pretty decent teams. Atlanta, Seattle, Dallas, Chicago. And they lost them all at the end. I mean, they lost, I'm doing the math right now. They lost those four games, pretty good teams, by a total of 12 points. Yep. So they were in it, and they just can't get it done at the end. I wasn't watching, I'll be honest, I wasn't watching that Chicago Panthers game, but I was watching Red Zone, Bill.
Yeah.
And they went to the game, and the first thing I see is Cam Newton throw a pick six to the Bears.
Yeah, there you go.
When they had the lead. So, all right. So they fall in at number 30, and they are dropping each and every week.
We say this all the time, Todd. Good teams win the close games. And Panthers, you mentioned, four of their last games, all losses, all by less than 12 points. So clearly they're not in that good team category. They can't close out the games.
No, they can't. They can, another team that can't close out the games at all because they don't have the lead in the end anyway are the Kansas City Chiefs, Bill. They fall in at number 31
brutal
on our Football Nation power rankings.
And they're playing in just a few hours. We're taping the show on Thursday. So if you're listening live, then you know the Thursday night game is with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers. If you're listening on demand, likely the Chiefs probably lost the game. So... So you'll probably see them again on the bottom five of the Football Nation Power Rankings.
You never know, man. You never know. The AFC West, really, it is a terrible division. Let's be honest. I like the Broncos a lot, and we're going to talk about them.
Yeah.
You know, not to give it away, but they're going to be somewhere in our top 10 this week, I believe. But that's a team on the rise. These other three teams are garbage, complete garbage. It's amazing to me. Like you said, the Raiders are 3-4 and the Chargers are 3-4. But if you look at the quality of those wins, they're basically beating each other up. That's how they're getting those wins. So not a great division, that AFC West. All right, Bill, number 32, no stranger to the bottom five Football Nation Power Rankings, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the Jaguars is they have Blaine Gabbert at quarterback. And whenever you have Blaine Gabbert under center, you're going to be in the bottom five of the Football Nation Power Rankings. The NFL is all about the quarterback, and when you have a bad quarterback, you're not going to have a good team. And that's the situation right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them here. I'm trying to find a silver lining for this team. Can't find one, Bill.
These guys are
terrible. They scored 103 points on the season, which is by far the worst in the NFL. They just have nothing. They have nothing to build upon. And they actually took the Packers at Lambeau to the fourth quarter. The game was somewhat in doubt. The Packers had a lot of questionable play calling, in my opinion, to keep that game close. And they found a way to lose. The Jags did. So they have a secure spot at the bottom of our rankings.
Todd, before we get into the top 10, we do have some breaking news. As you know, the NFL trade deadline is right about now. The New England Patriots have traded for Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Aqib Talib. So Talib is one of the talented cornerbacks in the league, does have some off-the-field issues. He was suspended earlier in the season, but he's only 26 years old. He has 18 interceptions in four seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we all know the New England Patriots need help in that secondary. So this is a great trade, or it seems like a great trade for the Patriots. Talib now coming to play for New England.
Like you said, he's a talent, and he was a talent coming out of Kansas. I remember him on draft day. The issue with him, why he dropped a little bit in the draft, off-the-field issues. He had him in college. Unfortunately, that's continued to happen to him in the NFL. But he's a talent. If Bill Belichick and company can get him, you know, on the team bus here, so to speak, and get him playing the Patriots way, he'll definitely upgrade what is a terrible secondary thus far in the season, Bill. Interesting trade for the Patriots.
And, you know, we have Albert Breer of the NFL Network coming on in the next segment, so we'll certainly ask him to kind of give us his perspective on that New England Patriots trade. Again, the New England Patriots now have cornerback from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Aqib Talib, so big upgrade for their secondary. All right, let's go back to the Football Nation top 10 power rankings. Now we're in the top 10, Todd. Who do we have at number 10?
Number 10, the Baltimore Ravens, Bill, hanging on at number 10. They had a bye week this past week, and I think they were number 10 on our list last week as well. They got hammered by the Texans the week before their bye, and the Ravens are kind of hanging on, Bill. You know, I'm predicting the Steelers overtake them by the end of the year in the AFC North.
It's really the tale of two halves here, because at the beginning of the season, the Ravens, they looked phenomenal on both offense and defense. Beat up on the Patriots earlier in the year, had some really quality wins, and then all of a sudden, the injuries started mounting up. They lost Ladarius Webb, their top cornerback. Ray Lewis, obviously, the staple in that defense for years. And Haloti Ngata got banged up all in the same game, and all of a sudden, the wheels started to fall off the Baltimore Ravens choo-choo train.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of the Steelers, they are number 9 on our list, Bill. An older team. They're definitely not a team on the rise as far as, you know, a legacy is concerned. They're on the tail end of what was it, been a great decade for the Steelers and their fans. But right, right now, Bill, you know, they're hanging in there, number nine. And again, I think that they're, I think Big Ben's going to lead them to a playoff run here in the second half of the season.
Steelers have a big-time matchup against the New York Giants here in Week 9. At number eight on our Football Nation Power Rankings, it's the Green Bay Packers. And boy, Todd, Aaron Rodgers has been on an absolute tear the last month of the season.
Yeah, he has. And like we said earlier, they kind of snuck by the Jags, Bill. Not an impressive win, but it's a win. Yep. We called it a few weeks ago. We said this team's about to go on a run, and that's exactly what they've done. And, you know, you talk about a division that's up for grabs. How about the NFC North, Bill?
Sure.
You got the Bears at the top, the Vikings and right. Packers hanging in right behind. And even the Lions started to make a little bit of noise there. But the Packers, my friend, they've won three in a row. And they got the Cardinals this week. It looks like they're going to be 6-3 heading yep. into the tail end of the season.
All right, coming in at number seven, the Denver Broncos. And we mentioned Aaron Rodgers with number eight and the Green Bay Packers. Peyton Manning has been another quarterback that has really gotten things going the last month of the season. You know, they had some tough games early on against the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons. But now all of a sudden, we're starting to see Peyton Manning and that offense for the Denver Broncos really come alive.
Look at the three teams they've lost to, Bo. They lost to Atlanta, they lost to the Texans, and they lost to the Patriots. Three
right.
quality opponents. Now, that doesn't bode well if, you know, when they get in the playoffs. You got to beat right. these opponents when you have these good teams and you get in the playoff on. But you got to like what the Broncos are doing here. The last 2 weeks, 35 points, 34 points. Peyton Manning is just on fire. They get the Bengals, Panthers, Chargers, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Raiders next, Bill. That is six extremely winnable games.
Yeah,
you're looking at probably 4-2 at worst there, and right now they're sitting at 4-3. So they're gonna take over this AFC West and get in the playoffs. And I tell you what, man, they are a scary, scary team right now. After the Texans, you know, we're kind of trying to figure out who those two and three seeds are gonna be. And
right.
man, the Broncos are right in that discussion at this point.
All right, let's get into our number six team, the Chicago Bears. Obviously, we love their defense. One of the best defenses in the league. They're 4-0 at home, Todd. 6-1 record. Yet we have them at number six, just outside the top five of our Football Nation Power Rankings. And it's really because we don't trust Jay Cutler, right?
Yeah, this is a team that's kind of fooled us in the past, a little bit of fool's gold. Even the defense, Bill. I like the defense. They are so opportunistic, it's scary. They're scoring a lot of defensive touchdowns. Eventually, that's going to stop, right? They can't keep getting one or two touchdowns every single week from the defensive side of the ball. Jay Cutler, it's hard to hang your hat on Jay Cutler and how he's going to perform the second half of the season. So we like them, but they're sitting there at number six. And I think when we reveal our top five, most people will agree that six is a pretty good spot for the Bears to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's get into that top five right now. We have the New England Patriots sitting pretty inside at number five. They're heading into the bye this week, so we know they're not moving up or down this chart by next week. But, I mean, top five, you can't go wrong there.
262 points scored, Bill. That is a lot of points through eight games.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they are really putting up points in a scary, scary way. They hammered the Rams over there across the pond in Old England. And, you know, as long as you have Tom Brady and some weapons around him like they have, they're going to be able to put up the points. They're trying to secure that defense with the trade for Talib we just talked about. And, you know, if they can get that defense just to be average going into the playoffs, they're going to be right in the hunt, as we all know.
All right, coming in at number four, we have the Atlanta Falcons, the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. They're sitting at 7-0, but yet they come in at number four, Todd. Why haven't we bought into them yet?
Well, I have to, you know, we have not been believers in these guys. And you look at their schedule, take away last week, you look at their schedule, Bill. Other than the win over the Broncos, they really played nobody. Now, they beat
right.
the Eagles. They hammered the Eagles last week. That was probably their most impressive game outside of that Denver game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to defy us a little bit with our non-believing. But, you know, I just think that when you talk about the top three teams, which we'll get to in a second, I think that the top three teams, if they play the Falcons head-to-head in the playoffs, they're going to beat them. It's quite simple, and maybe they'll prove us wrong. But until the Falcons start winning playoff games, I'm not a believer, my friend.
The Falcons are pretty much just beating up on the AFC West, one of the worst divisions in football.
Yeah, but, you know, they hammered the Eagles, and
yeah.
They beat the Broncos. So two of their seven wins, pretty impressive. The other ones, are games that turned out to be just laughers.
All right, moving on to the top three now. We have the New York Giants at number three. Now, there was a little debate between you and I last week. You wanted them at number two. I wanted them at number three. This week, you had them at number one, but I kind of overrode you on this one. I put them at number three, Todd.
I just ask you this, Bo. Right now, it's January 15th.
Right.
And you take the Giants, put them at home, put them on the road, put them wherever. They're going to beat the Niners. They already hammered the Niners, who are, let's just say right now, they're our number two team this week. They hammered the Niners in San Fran. They beat San Fran in the NFC Championship game last year. Why are we ranking them below them? I have no idea. Tell me. You did it, my friend. I had them at number one. You dropped them to three.
To me, the Dallas Cowboys are one of the most undisciplined and up-and-down teams in the NFL. The Giants were up on them 23-0, had four or five turnovers off Tony Romo, and yet they weren't scoring in the red zone. So that's a big alarm to me. That's a big red flag. You have to get points off turnovers, and I'm not talking field goals, Todd. I want touchdowns if you're a New York Giants fan, and the Giants didn't give that. So that worried me a little bit. So that's why I put them at number three. I put the 49ers at number two. I was shocked to see the Giants beat up on the Niners the way they did a few weeks ago. I don't think that'll happen again if they meet again in the playoffs.
Really? I don't know, man. I just think the Giants are the team, my friend. They're the defending champions. You know, what more can they do to impress? So, all right, so we have the Giants at three. We have the Niners at number two.
Right.
And we have the Houston Texans at number one. Let's talk a little bit about the Texans, Bill.
To me, the Texans are a team that get it done on both sides of the ball. They have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Their defensive MVP, J.J. Watt, might be the league's MVP, the first time since 1986 that a defensive player would win that award. He's playing that great this year. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Matt Schaub, perfect game manager, doesn't turn the ball over, gets the ball downfield to his big targets like Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels. And then they have a powerful rushing attack with Arian Foster. I really don't see many weaknesses on this Houston Texans team.
A couple interesting games coming up for the Texans, Bill. Not this week. They play the Bills in a game they should win coming off a bye.
Right.
In week 10, the next week, they got to go to Chicago. Interesting game. A Sunday night game on NBC. Interesting game. Houston at Chicago. That game could be 6-3 with the way those two defenses are playing. And then we've talked about it ad nauseum here. Week 14, Monday, December 10th. The Texans travel to New England to play those Patriots. So two interesting games upcoming for our number one ranked Texans.
All right, quick recap of the Football Nation top 10 power rankings. We have the Ravens at number 10, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9, Green Bay Packers coming in at number 8, and then the Denver Broncos at 7. The 6-1 Chicago Bears are sitting at number 6. New England Patriots are at the top 5, number 5. The Atlanta Falcons, undefeated Atlanta Falcons, are number 4. New York Giants, number 3. San Francisco 49ers are number 2. And the Houston Texans are our number 1 team in the Football Nation top 10.
They're your number 1 team, Bill.
Yes, that's right.
I got the Giants number 1.
They're my number 1 team. All right, we're going to take a quick break, just getting started. Bill and Todd hanging out with you on Patriots.com radio. You're listening to Football Nation. And when we return, Albert Breer of the NFL Network will join us. You don't want to miss it. Again, big trade for the New England Patriots. Aqib Talib is the newest member of the Patriots thanks to a trade they pulled off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. More Football Nation coming up right after the break.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you, and we are pleased to be joined by special guest Albert Breer of the NFL Network and, of course, NFL.com. Albert, thanks so much for joining us here on Football Nation.
You got it, guys.
You've been pretty busy with all the trade deadlines. I understand that there's been a pretty big announcement with the New England Patriots trading with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for cornerback Aqib Talib.
That's right. And, you know, it's an interesting move in that, you know, he's obviously a player who, you know, over his five NFL seasons has played really, really well. And, yeah, I don't know if he's a shutdown corner, but, you know, if he's not, he's on that next level down. And he's a guy you can match up. He's a guy who can play man. He's a bigger player, so he's not going to be somebody who's going to shrink against the run. You know, in between the lines, there's a lot that's right about this. The problem is he's had so much wrong, you know, when you get out off the field. And obviously, he's under such now.
All right, I think we lost Albert. You know, sometimes cell phones. Albert, you still there?
Yeah, I think we lost him.
I think we might have lost him there. That's all right. I'm sure he'll call back if he gets a chance. You know, the thing about I think what he was about to say was it makes sense for the Patriots because they need so much help in their secondary, yet Aqib Talib has been known throughout his NFL career to really be a big-time headache off the field, Todd.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things here that are interesting. And one question I do have for Bert here is when is he eligible to play? Because right now, Aqib Talib is currently serving a four-game NFL suspension and just kind of catching the breaking news as it's flowing in. There's some that are saying he'll be eligible November 4th, some saying November 11th. So, you know, I'm going to try to find that out from Bert. Also, it's interesting, this is the second cast-off from Greg Schiano that the Patriots have picked up. Remember the one earlier this year, Bill?
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, big name.
Junior, Winslow.
It didn't
Junior.
Pan out too well, did it? So hopefully this one pans out a little better for Patriots fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, I don't think he's eligible, Todd, for another couple weeks. I mean, he's currently serving a four-game suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He was suspended. He missed October 14th, October 21st, and Week 8, October 25th. The Patriots are on a bye this week, so I think he's going to be eligible to play on November 11th against Buffalo. Kevin, do we have Albert back yet? All right, working on it.
Yeah, again, this is a risk, you know. But at this point in time, Bill, you can't deny Talib's athletic ability, and when he's on, when his head is screwed on straight, this will be a great addition. I think he has enough time to learn most of the defense to make an impact for the second half of the season.
Right.
You know, that's why they have the trade deadline where they do. You know, it's not at the very end of the season, it's smack in the middle. He still has 8 games to get, you know, to figure out the defense. The key is, will he be on his best behavior, you know, in New England? If he is, I like the move. I like taking the risk. What's the worst case scenario? The secondary can't get any worse, can it?
Right. All right, let's bring back on Albert. Al, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, sorry about that. My neighborhood is kind of, I live in the Back Bay, it's kind of a dead zone for cell service. So I think I should be good as long as I stand still here.
How did you survive through Hurricane Sandy?
Everything looks all right. I was fine. I got stuck in London because I don't have the luxury of a charter like teams did. So we got delayed. I didn't get back till last night.
Oh wow! So you had quite the trip out there.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see. Yeah. I mean, I guess there could be worse things than being in London and Paris. But it was. Yeah. I mean, as far as I can see, everything's fine here.
All right. Great. Good to hear that.
Hey, Bert, the news is just kind of breaking here on Talib, and we're trying to get some confirmation on when exactly his four-game suspension is over. Is he available to play for the Patriots on November 11th? Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, I don't think my dates are probably off here. I don't think he's eligible to play with the Patriots next game. My understanding is a four-game suspension, not a four-week suspension. So he's still at the server game, and that means, obviously, this week doesn't count as time served. He'll get on the roster, and then, you know, when the Patriots' next game is, which obviously they have a bye this week, he'd probably have to sit against Buffalo. I think that's their next game, right? And, So, and then, okay. he'd be eligible to return to the team the Monday after that game, I think. I haven't checked with the league or anything, but generally that's how it would work. With it. You don't get that. I mean, that even happened with Joe Vitt. You know, the Saints coach had the, was serving a 6-game suspension, and it was actually 7 weeks. Because the Saints had a bye right in the middle of there. I'm almost positive it works the same way for players.
Bert, were there anything else that happened on the trade deadline that we need to know about, Patriots or non-Patriots specific? It looked like it was pretty quiet other than this move.
Yeah, the big names, I mean, I can tell you at this point, D'Angelo Williams wasn't traded, Dwayne Bowe wasn't traded, Steven Jackson wasn't traded. Those were like the bigger names that you heard out there. I don't think the expectation was that there was going to be much movement. How many teams are around 500 now? And yeah, here's the thing, you know, you look at some teams that might be, teams that will be, that would trade players in this circumstance. And, you know, I look at the St. Louis Rams as a perfect example. You know, look at their roster. I mean, everybody who's tradable on their roster is 23, 24, 25 years old, with the exception of Steven Jackson. And, you know, you look at Jackson, it's like, well, you know, if they give him up, you know, they're leaving Sam Bradford with basically nothing. You know, Chris Givens got hurt last week and Danny Amendola's down, probably just coming back a couple weeks from now when they come off their bye. So, you know, football's not really conducive to it. And, I think that's really the story here. They moved the trade those deadline back with the intention of trying to create more movement, but it just doesn't work.
One of the bigger storylines in the New York area was that Tim Tebow was going to be traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What did you make of all that nonsense?
There was no truth to it. I mean, the Jags and the Jets didn't have trade talks involving Tebow. Now, I don't know if there were any trade talks involving Tebow. At this point, I mean, you look at it, and the Jets have invested time in this thing. They've done their best to involve him in the offense to some degree. Now, I know for some people it's never going to be enough. They found him a role on special teams. I think if you're going to bring Tim Tebow in, you know, the thing you got to realize is what the Jets went through.
Right.
That didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, you're inviting the circus to town if you're trading for Tim Tebow. You're automatically putting your starting quarterback in a difficult spot, especially if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, that's his hometown. You know, obviously Gainesville's right down the road.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go into bringing in a player like Tim Tebow, not to mention the fact that he's not really a conventional NFL quarterback. And if you are going to play him and you are going to give him serious snaps, you got to tailor things to him the way that the Denver Broncos did last year. So, there's so many different factors with Tebow. To me, you look at him, and he's not a tradable commodity, you know, in the middle of the season. I mean, I just don't see what he's going to bring to a team unless you had a starter, who went down and you were willing to do all of that with your offense. Even then, it'd be difficult. And, I think you look at the Jaguars, if they were going to pull a trigger on something like that, you know, they would have been able to outbid the Jets back in the spring. And,
right.
You know, that was obviously, it wouldn't have been that difficult to do since the Jets didn't give up all that much to get him.
So, Bert, you mentioned that you just got back from London, which has, you know, kind of been an interesting topic, and you wrote a really interesting piece on NFL.com about the NFL exploring expansion into the UK. You know, what's your take on this? What kind of time frame are we looking at here? You know, they have a multi-year agreement with the Jacksonville Jaguars now to play home games there for the next, 3 years, I think?
Yeah, the Jags will play there. Well, I think it's 2013 to 2016. So they'll be there for 4 years. And then on top of that, you're going to have two games over there. And those are significant steps for the league. One of the things that they've got to prove is that this can work without the novelty. You know, and at this point, they're treating each of these games as Super Bowls. They've got a concert before the game. They create all this hype around it. That doesn't really tell you whether or not you're going to be able to support a team there full time. What does is seeing whether customers are going to come back, seeing whether they'll come back if there isn't a headliner team in there, seeing if they'll come back two times in a year, you know. And so this is a way to further test the market, you know, and see if the growth that they think they've experienced in London is real. And, so the Jaguars going over there, every year, they'll be able to see if the Jaguars are able to drum up any kind of following over there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and having two games over there, ultimately, if you're going to put a team over there full time, the market's going to have to support 8 games. And so this is a way of kind of adding another element to try and test where the market is. I still don't think that, I know that there's a small group of owners and executives who are very, very ambitious about this and very motivated to try and make this work and push the brand over to Europe because really they feel like they've reached a breaking point as far as their growth domestically. It's going to be difficult for them to grow any more than they already have. But they're going to have to make it, you know, for the full body of NFL owners to even consider this seriously. They're going to have to make it into the top five in sports in England. And right now they're at seventh or eighth. To give you an idea, soccer's number one. After that, you got tennis, rugby, and cricket. And then somewhere in fifth and sixth, you know, one or the other, motorsports and golf. And so, you know, football would have to leapfrog, you know, motorsports and golf and get into that realm of tennis and cricket and rugby. You know, it's not close to being there yet. But there's a lot of optimism that they can take the growth they've gone through over the last few years and build on it and get to that next level.
Yeah, that was my next question. My final question on this topic was, what's the measurement they're going to be using to see if this is a viable thing? And it sounds like they're just looking at where the sport ranks in the country. I didn't know
right.
if it was sponsors, because I know the sponsorships have gone kind of through the roof. In your article, you mentioned the sponsors started with two sponsors. Now they have a dozen major sponsors for this game. So is that what they're using for the measurement?
Well, yeah. I mean, the main thing is are people going to tune in? You know, one of the reasons that they – one of the main reasons, and the interesting thing about it is that they don't see participation as being that big a deal. I mean, yes, they'd like to have people playing football, but they don't think it's essential to selling the sport over there. You know, I think what's interesting about it is that they've chosen London, despite the fact that they're less popular there than they are in some other places. You know, they're more popular in Canada, they're more popular in Mexico than they are in the United Kingdom. They're also more popular in Germany.
Right.
You know, it's just that the United Kingdom, Canada, and Mexico don't bring the money that England does. Doesn't bring this new frontier of dollars that the United Kingdom does. Germany might. The problem with Germany is there are television distribution issues over there. And so, you know, really what they wanted to do is they wanted to try to find a place where they wanted to go into one place and try to get it right. You know, what Chris Parsons, the director of international business, said to me is it doesn't make any sense for us to go in and try to be 15th in 20 different countries. We got to find a way to get into the upper echelon of sports in one country, take that model and use it other places. So because of the financial factors and, you know, the language barrier thing, I think helps too. The television issue, of course, is better there than it is other places.
Right.
You know, I think that they felt like London was the best place to go to start this experiment and be the first market they really hone in on, they really focus on. And so, you know, I know it makes sense to put a game in like Frankfurt or Hamburg or Berlin in Germany because it's been popular in Germany. We've had players come over from there. There's a great defensive end from Florida State who's going to be going to the draft next year. Obviously, Sebastian Vollmer's here in New England. But, you know, I think until they can find a way to make it work in London, you aren't going to see them making, you know, a real effort to put regular season games anywhere else. And there are a number of reasons, pretty much all of them relating to business, why they've chosen London as a place to be.
Albert Breer from the NFL Network is joining us here on Football Nation. You can follow him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, plus all of his work is on NFL Network and NFL.com. Albert, it's my understanding that you're covering the Miami Dolphins and the Colts game this week.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
hey, who would thought to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big game.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, the schedule isn't great this week either, but, you know, both those teams are in contention. And if you look at the AFC, you know, what's fascinating about it to me is, you know, you got New England. I think you can count on them being in the playoffs. Count on Houston being there. Denver looks like a good bet right now.
Right.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you figure they sort their issues out. I think there's going to be at least one playoff spot in the AFC that's going to be up for grabs for one of these teams that no one would have expected to be there.
Yeah.
And, God, you know, for the Dolphins and Colts, that makes this game huge because not only, you know, would it get them to 5-3, put them two games over 500, you know, but somebody's going to walk away with this with what potentially could be an important tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating. Two rookie quarterbacks in this situation. We've seen it in recent years. You can win with rookie quarterbacks. You know, and now it looks like these two organizations that, you know, looked really messy in the offseason. Obviously, you know, the Colts changed everything, and the Dolphins went through everything they have over the last year and a half, the Jim Harbaugh thing. And, you know, for them to be here at 4-3, I think is pretty impressive. And like I said, if you had told me, you know, in early September that the first weekend in November I'd be covering the Dolphins and the Colts, I would have laughed at you.
Albert, one last question before you go. As an alumni of Ohio State University, when you see a player on Monday Night Football proudly announce the Ohio State University, you know, you get all giddy and happy inside seeing all that?
Yeah, you know, I get even more giddy when I see us, you know, going to 8-0 and 9-0 on Saturdays in the fall. Yeah, you know, it's great. I honestly watching all those guys, that's part of the fun thing for me is I follow all these guys in college. I still got connections to the program back there, and I get to know a little bit about kids when they're teenagers and in their early 20s, and you know, it's pretty cool to cover them when they become pros. You know, with all of them, I love watching college football in general, but the Ohio State guys in particular, you know, I watch every one of their games. You know, so every one of those guys who comes up, you know, I've got a pretty good knowledge of every single guy who comes through the program. And, it's always cool to see them playing on Sundays and Monday nights. And I guess it'd be one of the benefits of the job, you know.
All right, that is Albert Breer from the Ohio State University. You can also find him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, and, of course, on NFL Network and NFL.com. Albert, we really appreciate you joining us on Football Nation, and have fun at that golf Dolphins-Colts game.
All right, Chris. Thanks, guys.
All right, Bill. You know, interesting. It's amazing, and we're going to get to the game later on. It is amazing that two teams with rookie quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and Andrew Luck, those are the two front runners for that final wild card spot right now. A lot of football to be played.
Right.
But like he said, and we said it last week too, Bill, you kind of figure those five teams are probably going to make it. The Ravens have built up enough of a cushion that they, even if they struggle down the stretch, probably going to sneak into the playoffs. There's kind of five teams, and then there's everybody else. And somebody's going to have to make that sixth spot. It'll be interesting to see. Whoever wins this game might be the front runner for that last playoff spot in the AFC.
And he kind of touched on it a little bit before. Both of these teams, the Colts and the Dolphins, both have rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, Andrew Luck, the number one pick in the 2012 April draft a few months ago. Ryan Tannehill, the number seven pick for the Miami Dolphins. And also, both of these teams, Todd, they have new head coaches. Joe Philbin for the Miami Dolphins, and Jim Caldwell was relieved of his duties with the Colts. So they have a new, Chuck Pagano is dealing with his health issues. So the Colts also have a new head coach there. So pretty interesting. A lot of similarities between these two teams. And all of a sudden, despite the rookie quarterbacks, they're really fighting for that wild card spot.
The Colts were 2-14 last year, Bill.
Yeah, they've already doubled their amount of wins.
It's amazing.
We're not even halfway through the season.
And, you know, I've been on this guy's bandwagon, like a lot of people. I'm not the only one. But I'm telling you, I'll say it again on these airwaves, Andrew Luck is the real deal. When I mean real deal, I mean he has a chance to be Tom Brady-esque in a couple of years. I'm serious. This guy is legit. They just need to get that team built up a little bit around him. So what they're doing this year, very surprising. Didn't expect them. I expect them to be much improved, maybe get five or six wins this year. But they're on pace to go around 500, Bill. Unbelievable.
And since we're talking about the Colts and the Dolphins, Todd, what do you say we kind of transition into some of the Week 9 previews? Obviously tonight, Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Diego Chargers. This game, we don't really like to spend a lot of time on the Thursday night game because we know a lot of you are listening live, but at the same time, if you're listening to this show on demand via the podcast, this game has already happened. So Chiefs and Chargers, who you got in that one?
Really? This is a bad game, Bill. I'll go with the Chargers here because the Chiefs are back and forth between Brady Quinn and Matt Castle, a quarterback, back and forth, injured, not injured, just a mess. You know, we've been very critical of North Turner for not giving the ball to Ryan Matthews enough since he's been back. But how about the Chiefs last week, Bill? Do you know how many times they gave the ball to their stud running back, Jamaal Charles?
I think five or six.
It was ridiculous. How in the world? In a close game. They weren't getting crushed last week. The game was in doubt. The running game was still viable. It wasn't like they were down 30 points to the Raiders. And you're right. I mean, he got the ball. I'm going to look it up here real quick. I think it was, like you said,
five carries.
I mean, what are you
doing?
Thank
you, Brian Daboll, because I was playing Jamaal Charles. I was playing against him.
Oh, were you?
I was really happy. I was like, thank you, Brian Daboll.
I mean, I just don't understand it. Five carries for 4 yards. Obviously, he wasn't getting it done, Bill, but five carries for basically your best player, who is healthy, correct? There's no injury with Jamaal Charles right now.
Nope.
He's healthy. What are they doing?
I'm not sure. That's why you got it. That's why we have the Chiefs in the bottom five of our power rankings every week.
So tonight you got two teams that are unwilling to give the ball to basically their best offensive player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Should be a fun one.
It should be fun. So whoever gives the ball, let's put it this way. Whatever running back gets the most carries between Jamal Charles and Ryan Matthews, that team will win. There you go.
All right, I like that. Let's move ahead to Sunday. You got the Denver Broncos, a team that was in our top 10 for the power rankings, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, who are coming off a bye. They play in that tough AFC North division, but this was a playoff team last year, so this is a pretty good matchup.
It is a good matchup. And, you know, Bill, whenever we talk about the Bengals, your Bengals, we got to bring it up. You know, we like to poke fun at you a little bit, Bill, with your,
I know.
Your Panthers Super Bowl prediction. And at this point, this is it. Kevin Collins, our producer, come on in on this conversation. Bill, through seven games, your preseason prediction was the Bengals were going to be 7-0.
What are they?
3-4.
Oh, I was so close.
And don't they have Denver at home, which could – I mean, I still think Denver is going to win this game, even though it's in
Cincinnati. Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely.
I agree. I think Denver's on a roll. I mean, honestly, guys, I mean, Denver's dangerous. They are really dangerous right now. I mean, they just destroyed the Saints on Sunday night. And what we thought would be a pretty entertaining game, they took all the entertainment right out of it. So to answer your question, Bill, I think the Broncos, I think it'll be a close game. It's at Cincinnati, but I think the Broncos come out with a win.
All right, how about the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns, AFC North battle in this one?
Well, the Ravens are wounded. They had a bye at the exact right time. They needed the bye week. They have a lot of injuries. This is the perfect game for them to come back to, in my opinion. Now, the Browns always play them tough. It's a divisional game. I don't think it'll be an absolute blowout. But you couldn't have asked for a better opponent right now for the Ravens. I think that they win this game.
What do you say about the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers? We know the Packers have been rolling lately.
They're streaking, baby.
The Cardinals, they started off hot, but they quickly calmed down.
Like we said, the Packers are making us look smart. You know, everybody had their doubts. They were, 2-3, and they were on the verge of going 2-4. And then they pulled out that one game against I forget who, but at the last minute they win a game, and now they've won 3 in a row. They will roll over the Cardinals. The Cardinals, we said it earlier in the season, they're fool's gold, Bill. They've lost 4 in a row after a 4-0 start. Yeah. Now they're going to lose 5 in a row.
All right, this is my upset prediction of the week, Todd. Chicago Bears taking on the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans are going to win this one.
Yeah, well, I think you and I both, you know, have a little bit of doubt with the Bears.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick the Titans over the Bears. It is in Tennessee.
Yep.
So what's your reasoning behind your pick there?
To me, I think the Tennessee Titans are just a team that they're very quietly starting to collect some wins down the stretch here. With Matt Hasselbeck under center, I think they're a much better team than when they started off with Jake Locker. I think Chris Johnson's starting to get his wheels turning at a lot better pace. And to me, the Tennessee Titans defense can outmatch the Chicago Bears offense. And for that reason, I think it's going to come down to an interception or maybe a return on special teams. But I think the Titans are going to edge out the Bears in this one.
I like the prediction, bold prediction there. I'm going to take the Bears, but I can definitely see the Titans pulling it out. But I'm going to go Bears.
All right, moving on. We already discussed the Miami Dolphins and Indianapolis Colts game. You have a prediction for it?
Wow. This is just a great ball game. In Indianapolis, both of them are coming off nice wins from last week. How about that touchdown catch from Vic Ballard? The effort to get into the end zone from Andrew Luck on that swing
pass. In overtime, yeah.
That was awesome. You know, I'm going to go Colts. I'm going to go home team. I'm going to go home team here. Go Colts.
I like the Colts in that one as well. How about the battle of the disappointments, Carolina Panthers against the Washington Redskins, two electrifying quarterbacks of Cam Newton, whatever repeat of what he did last year. Right now, RG3 is taking away the spotlight.
Yeah, you know what? I think that Carolina is going to get the win here on the road.
Okay.
The Redskins have lost a couple games in a row here. They were at 3-3, and I think that the hype was a little too much for their offense and for RG3. Let's not forget how bad that defense is, Bill. They are horrendous. Giving up 227 points. I think this is the game where Cam Newton finally gets it together. Steve Smith has a big game. I think they go on the road and beat the Redskins.
How about the Buffalo Bills taking on the Houston Texans? Texans are a team that are every week inside the top three of the Football Nation power rankings.
Texans.
Yeah, easy one, huh?
The Bills have the talent to hang in there. I don't know that it'll be an absolute blowout, but the Texans will win this game.
All right, how about the 4 o'clock games? And again, Todd, we discussed this last week, even said it the week before that. Once again, there's only two games that are set to play at the 4 o'clock Eastern starting point. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And once again, for the third week in a row, one of those teams feature the Oakland Raiders. What is going on?
The schedule makers love the Raiders in that 4 o'clock spot. I don't know.
What the hell is happening?
Well, they're on the West Coast. I mean, they can't play a 1 o'clock home game.
So
1 o'clock Eastern is 10 o'clock a.m. They can't do that. If they got a home game, they got to play a West Coast game on that. Put a West Coast game in that 4 o'clock spot. So the Buccaneers go out to Oakland. It's a rematch from that Super Bowl from a while back, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's it, 2004
Rich
or 5,
Gannon and...
Gruden. Rich... It was Gruden demolishing the Raiders in...
I'm trying to think of the Bucs quarterback that year.
Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson, right. I was going to say
Brad
Sean
Johnson,
King.
Rich Gannon. So there you go. You can hang your hat on that. You know they're going to play some highlights from that game during this one.
Sweet.
What a snoozer this is, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me the Bucs. I'll take the Bucs to win.
I like the Raiders at home.
Okay. So, you know what? Honestly, I mean, that game is very, very little interest for me. But hey, if the Raiders win that game, they get to 500. So because of that, I can't see them getting to 500. I'm going to go Bucs. Strategy there.
This game's a pretty good one. It features two of the top quarterbacks selected in that 2004 NFL draft, Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, with the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to New York, New Jersey to take on the Giants.
Great game. You know,
yeah, it is. I like
laughing.
It.
We've been laughing about the terrible Oakland Raider matchup at the 4 o'clock game, but the good news is last week the other game was Cowboys-Giants, which was a great, very entertaining game.
Yeah.
This week they give us Steelers and Giants, another very entertaining game on paper. I think this will live up to the billing. It'll be a good good battle. I think the home team, the Giants, my number one ranked Giants, take down the Steelers in a good ball game.
All right, how about Sunday night primetime action? Dallas Cowboys taking on the undefeated Atlanta Falcons. Will the Falcons get their first loss in this one?
You know, Bill, we've gone against the Falcons a few times this year.
They've been burning us.
Yeah. So you know what? I'm going to take the Falcons. I've learned my lesson.
Okay.
And not because, again, we aren't true believers in them going to the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll turn us into believers. But they're playing the Cowboys, Bill. The Cowboys find ways to lose.
Yes, they certainly do.
They just can't pull out these games at the end. Atlanta, you know, we've talked about it. They've played a lot of close games, and they've won them all. I mean, they've played down to the level of their competition, but they always pull it out in the end. So if this game is close with 5 minutes left, you got to love the Falcons, and you got to go against the Cowboys. By the way, how in the world did the Cowboys pull off? How many plays was it in the last, like, 40 seconds? They had, like, 9 plays in that Giants game?
Well, it was 3 plays in the last 10 seconds. I know that.
I know that. But there was some crazy stat. It was like 43 seconds, and they pulled off 9 plays.
Tom Coughlin was not happy.
Unbelievable stuff. So this week, Bill, the Dallas will not be at home. They won't have that home cooking on the play clock there. And so I think that they'll get the loss in Atlanta.
One more game to preview for Week 9 of the NFL. Can't believe it's Week 9 already. Monday Night Football, Philadelphia Eagles taking on the New Orleans Saints.
Wow. Who knows in this one, Bill? Seriously. The Eagles, you know Kevin was waiting for that. I thought we were going to get that one when we were talking about the Falcons. Are the Eagles going to show up, Bill? I mean, that's the thing. There's so much turmoil there right now. The pressure's on Vic. The pressure's on the defensive coordinator. It's on Andy Reid. It's on everybody, the offensive line. They got a lot of problems right now. And the only good news for the Eagles in their offense, which has been sputtering, is the Saints' defense is terrible. So if they're able to climb out of their hole, Bill, this is a pretty good week to do it against the Saints.
You know, Todd, as I'm going back through my notes here, I realize I skipped 2 games. Detroit at Jacksonville, Minnesota at Seattle.
Yeah, you're skipping games, man.
Yeah, you know why? Because those games really don't do anything much. Don't do a whole lot for me. Jacksonville, one of the bottom 5 teams in... I'm sorry. Jacksonville, one of the bottom 5 teams in our Football Nation Power Rankings. Detroit starting to make some noise as Matthew Stafford starting to live up to the
Detroit
expectation.
Give me Detroit in that one.
All right, and then what about Minnesota at Seattle? It's in Seattle. That makes a big difference.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Yeah, you can't go against them where they're playing at home.
Yeah, and think about it. If that were to come true, and if your Bears prediction, your Bears loss prediction were to come true, you know what you'd have? You'd have Bears 6-2, Packers 6-3, Vikings 5-4, Lions 4-4.
Oh.
That's the division, man, in the NFC. Yeah. That is the one to watch because there's a potential that three teams from that division make the playoffs. It's very, very possible two wild cards come out of that division.
All right, so that was our Week 9 preview. We'll go into these games a little bit deeper when Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts joins us in about a half hour into the show. But when we get back, we will start helping everyone with their fantasy football teams for Week 9. So it is the time to call in right now, 508-298-0398, or you can shoot us an email with your fantasy football questions, webradio@patriots.com. More Football Nation coming up right after the break.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL 400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G0 19 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval is solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay. along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Back to Football Nation. It is time to go over some of our fantasy football highlights for Week 9. Now, Todd, you and I do the Fantasy Football Champ Show every week, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on football on Patriots.com radio. So since we had to skip the show on Tuesday, we want to focus a lot on fantasy football over the next hour. 508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. You can also email in webradio@patriots.com, and I've been getting a lot of love on Twitter, Todd, saying that a lot of people missed our show on Tuesday, so they wanted to make sure that we were going to still do fantasy football coverage here on Football Nation, and we absolutely are. So again, the number is 508-298-0398. Todd, how are your fantasy teams doing as we're kind of really in the midway point in the fantasy season?
I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this. My teams are streaking, Bill.
Yeah, they are. Right. I like to hear it.
I'm actually I'm on a roll in most of my leagues. I've gotten multiple wins strung together. Chris Johnson's been helping me out. Tom Brady helped me out tremendously last week.
Nice.
You know who else helped me out in a huge way? I made an executive decision last week in a PPR league to start Jason Witten over Jimmy Graham. Now, Jimmy Graham scored. Yeah, Jason Witten didn't score a touchdown, still got me 39 points.
He had 18 receptions, right? I know, and
I'm sitting there watching the game, and every time he caught a ball, I'm just like, ding, another point for me. You know, and I benched Jimmy Graham. I benched Jimmy Graham for Witten.
That was a bold move.
Yeah, it would turn out to be a good move. So I'm pushing all the right buttons, Bill. I'm ready. I'm fired up. Let's give the people what they want. Let's give them some fantasy, buddy.
All right, what do you say we answer a couple emails? We have our friend Strippers. He's in a PPR league. He needs three wide receivers out of this bunch. And, Todd, they're pretty much all studs. He has Reggie Wayne going against Miami, Marquise Colson playing against the Eagles, Eric Decker against the Bengals, Mike Wallace taking on the New York Giants, and A.J. Green going up against the Denver Broncos.
All right, well, Green and Wayne are in.
Absolutely. When the PPR format, you can't go wrong with Reggie Wayne. And to me, A.J. Green, top five receiver in the league right now.
All right, so it's PPR. So now it's Colston, Decker, or Wallace.
Correct.
I don't know. What are you leaning towards here? I mean, you
I'm
can go.
Towards,
I kind of like all three of them, to be honest with you.
I don't think he can go wrong.
No,
I really
don't think. Like you said, he is stacked here. Who are you leaning towards?
I'm kind of leaning towards Mike Wallace. I think the New York Giants let up a lot of big plays down the field. I know it's a PPR, and he may only get four or five catches, but those four or five receptions may end up being for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, the Giants, they give up yards in bunches, man. I mean, we just talked about Jason Witten catching 18 balls and always a tight end, but, you know, he had no problem getting open. And the Giants, I mean, it wasn't until the very end of the game where the Giants were able to try to slow him down, that key third and fourth down there at the end of the game. So
now,
Wallace is an interesting play.
Yeah, go ahead. Wallace, yeah, right. So Wallace, we both kind of agree that he's solid. Eric Decker's a guy, though, five touchdowns in the last four games. His receptions really aren't there, though. Only four receptions in Week 8, six receptions in Week 6, and then four again in Week 5. So if he doesn't get into the end zone, he's really not a guy that's putting up a lot of numbers in that PPR format.
Yeah, I like Decker. Again, he's put up more than 14 points in four of his last five outings, fantasy points. So that is solid. The thing with him is, you know, you notice that while he's put up 14 points in four of the five, he hasn't put up more than 16. So he's not going to give you that, you know, ridiculous blowout game. That's what Demaryius Thomas is there for.
Right.
Peyton Manning spreads it around, Bill. And that's great for Peyton Manning. It's great for Broncos fans in reality football. But in fantasy football, you know, he doesn't have that one guy he relies upon. You know, Demaryius Thomas is the game breaker. Decker's the possession guy. I think with Mike Wallace, you've got a little more upside. I like the matchup with the Giants. But strippers can't go wrong. He's got a solid set of wide receivers there.
The Giants have let up the fifth most points to opposing wide receivers. I think Mike Wallace is the guy you have to plug in alongside A.J. Green and Reggie Wayne. I think final answer is Mike Wallace to be that third guy.
That's your final answer? You don't need a lifeline?
Nope, no lifeline on that one.
All right.
Going
what
with
else
Wallace.
Do we got? Any more emails?
Yeah, one more email from our guy Higgins. He wants to know, he has Rashad Mendenhall, but do you think he should dump Mendenhall for a guy like John Dwyer, Mendenhall's backup, Lerod Stevens-Halling, Daryl Richardson, who was a hot commodity on the waiver wire this week because we all thought that Steven Jackson would have been traded. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Isaac Redman, Shane Vereen, who's on a bye, or Alex Green of the Green Bay Packers. So a couple interesting options here. If Mendenhall doesn't play, I think it has to be Dwyer.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. I was just gonna say that. I mean, but he's talking about having to cut Mendenhall, right?
Right.
I mean, what's the latest on the injury update for Mendenhall?
It's not practicing.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess it comes down to this. You know, if it's a week to week thing, no brainer, go with Dwyer. You know.
Yeah.
Go with Dwyer. He's been, you know, he had over 100 yards his last two games. 122 yards, 107 yards last two games. He hasn't scored a touchdown, but Dwyer's looking pretty good. They got the Giants and then the Chiefs, Bill, next 2 weeks. Then the Ravens, who, again, defense is depleted.
Right.
Browns, Ravens, Chargers, Dallas, Cincinnati, Cleveland. This is a solid schedule for the Steelers coming up. Not a single defense to be scared of. Again, I'm not scared of the Ravens' defense any longer.
No, neither am I.
So, you know, now the question is, well, Dwyer, you know, how long is he going to play? When Mendenhall does come back, is he going to be the man, or are they going to continue to go with Dwyer? I'd go Dwyer here. I'd roll the dice with Dwyer. I don't trust Mendenhall as far as I could throw him, so I would have no problem cutting Mendenhall and going with Dwyer.
All right, he's got a couple start questions. RG3 or Peyton Manning this week?
RG3 against the Panthers? Peyton Manning against Cincinnati. Well, at FFChamps.com, Bill, Peyton Manning's number one.
RG3's
number two. You know?
Can't go wrong there. I think you should go with Peyton. The guy's been consistent. You never know if RG3 might have a couple fumbles on some runs. Maybe he gets a little banged up in the game. He has to take it out. I think Peyton Manning's the safer of the two options, and you're likely going to get the same amount of points.
I would agree. Peyton's a safer play. RG3 has more upside.
Okay.
If it's a 6 points per touchdown pass, obviously Manning's the play. If it's 4 points per touchdown pass, they're pretty much dead even, man. And if you need a big giant performance, RG3 can give it to you while Peyton's a little bit limited, you know. But you can't go wrong there. That's two great options. Nice job with the quarterbacks there for Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins, I believe, is an FF Champs member. I think he was the guy that won the FF Champs membership.
Yeah, he won
a few
the subscription,
back.
I think.
Right, he won the subscription. So,
well, he listened to us.
He's doing well.
He listened to us in the preseason, because look at Manning and Griffin. Those are two guys that you could get in the middle rounds in your drafts, which is what we preach. Is, you know, we preach it until the cows come home, Bill.
Yep.
Don't grab a quarterback early. But when you, the way I did it was, I tried to strike in the middle rounds, but then I would strike almost back to back, like two quarterbacks in three rounds.
Smart. You know what I mean? I like that.
And I was really high on both RG3 and Luck this year, and, you know, get a Manning and pair him up with one of the rookies. I love it. Higgins did a good job there.
All right, it's time to go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Again, 508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. Let's go to Taylor in Tennessee. She's got a question about Maurice Jones-Drew. What's going on, Taylor?
Hi, guys. I just want to tell you how much I hate Maurice Jones-Drew.
You hate him?
It's not even like, what have you done for me lately? It's what have you done for me this entire season as my first-round draft pick.
Oh, come on. He's doing all right.
No, he's not. He had one game with 24 points. One game. The rest... flatline, 8 points.
Well, first of all, Taylor, why did you draft him in the first round? When was your draft? Because in the drafts I was participating in, he didn't go until the second, maybe even third round in most of my drafts, because we didn't know his status heading into the season.
I have faith, and I drafted him while he was holding out, but I also drafted Rashard Denny.
Okay, so you... Right, so you got the handcuffs, so you figured you were set either way. Then you must have been pretty thrilled when he came back earlier than expected, gave you a few good weeks, but now you're not too happy with him. Well, Bill, what do you have to say about MJD?
He's not coming back for a while, so it's a good thing you have his handcuff for Rashad Jennings. And I understand the frustration with people that have Maurice Jones-Drew out there. 177 yards and a touchdown. That was 26 points back in week three. That was his best game of the year. Since that dominant performance against the Colts, he had 38 rushing yards against the Bengals, 56 rushing yards against the Bears, and then we all know he got hurt in week seven against the Raiders. So it's going to be quite some time before Maurice Jones-Drew is back on the field. Certainly a guy that I would hold on to, especially for the fantasy football playoffs. But if you have Rashad Jennings, you're pretty much set, because Jennings is a guy that has been playing actually pretty well while filling in for MJD.
The thing is, when Maurice Jones-Drew came back, I dropped Rashad Jennings.
Oh, no. And now you can't get him back?
No. I'm being offered a trade by the person who does have Rashad Jennings.
And what's the trade?
He wants to give me Willis McGahee for MJD.
Do it.
Yeah.
That was absolutely my gut feeling. That was my gut.
Well, Taylor, what's your record in this league? Are you in competition for the playoffs or not?
I'm ranked number 2 in our 18 league.
Absolutely. Take this trade. MJD is not going to be back for quite some time. Are you getting Rashad Jennings in that deal as well, or you're just giving him Maurice Jones-Drew so he can have the handcuff for MJD with Jennings on the roster already?
I'm going to get Willis. He's going to get Maurice Jones-Drew. But for some reason, he thinks that Maurice Jones-Drew is this, like, awesome jewel. And I just don't know if I'm being crazy or if no one's looked at his stats all season. They're just going on, like, the name. But he hasn't done anything. And Willis McGahee is actually putting up pretty good points. 19 points last week.
McGahee is going to be a top 10 running back the rest of the way. He only has, I don't even know if he has a tough matchup the rest of the season. Takes on the Bengals, Panthers, Chargers, Chiefs, Bucks, Raiders. We all know the Ravens defense banged up, and then he takes on the Browns again. Willis McGahee, one of my favorite running backs going forward the rest of the year. MJD is not going to be back until at least week 12, and that's on the positive light of things. So I would absolutely go ahead and do that trade. Get Willis McGahee on your squad. You fill in that running back spot very nicely.
And then one more thing. Mike Wilson sure. This week or Hakeem Nicks?
Who is it?
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wilson or Hakeem Nicks?
I still don't get it. Hakeem Nicks or who?
Mike Williams, Tampa Bay.
Oh, Hakeem Nicks, absolutely.
But he's also done nothing since he's come back.
I have a lot of faith in Hakeem Nicks this week. He's getting healthier and healthier each week. Mike Williams is a guy that he's been playing well, but he doesn't have the talent that Nicks has. Much better quarterback with Eli Manning. Pretty interesting matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. I think it's going to be not necessarily a high-scoring game, but certainly a lot of passing. You have two of the premier quarterbacks taking on the field against each other. Usually that leads to
So you're high on Nicks. I mean, I'm with Taylor on this one. Nicks, look at the
Mike
stats.
Mike Williams against
him.
Come on.
I hear you there. I hear you there. But if I'm Taylor, I'm not happy with Nicks either. 43 games since he came back. 44, 53, 46 receiving yards, 0 touchdowns in 3 games.
I think Nicks is the right play. To me, he's a borderline stud. I always start my studs. Mike Wallace is a nice complimentary player as wide receiver 3. I don't even think they're on the same playing field.
All right, I'm going to go with Nicks this week and hold out one more time for him.
All right, Taylor, we really appreciate your call. Thanks for listening to the show. And, Todd, you know, the thing about these wide receivers are you never know which one is gonna absolutely go crazy in a given week. But to me, you have to rely more on Hakeem Nicks than Mike Williams. I kind of think that's an easy call. You disagree with that?
I agree with your premise, but, dude, he hasn't done anything. He had one game where he did anything all year. Mike Williams has 4 touchdowns in 4 different games. He has 200-yard games. He had 11 targets last week, 8 targets the week before. You know, he's a part of that Tampa Bay offense. They're playing the Raiders. They aren't all that defensively. I don't think it's a no-brainer. I can understand Taylor being upset with Nicks and his lack of performance, because I agree with you. When Nicks came back, I was kind of all in, kind of like you. I'm like, all right, Nicks is going to get right back into the offense. Giants are rolling.
Right.
He hasn't done anything. 44, 53, and 46 yards. That's 133 receiving yards over a 3-game span. 0 touchdowns.
Did you just do all that in your head without a calculator?
I am a math wizard, unlike you. Yeah. Math and geography are my 2 strengths, and those are your 2 weaknesses. That's why, you know, the yin and the yang, that's why they put us together here co-hosting the show.
Absolutely right, Todd. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. If you want to talk about your fantasy football teams, or maybe you have some concerns about this Aqib Talib trade with the New England Patriots, feel free to shoot us a call, 508-298-0398, or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. Todd, while we're waiting for some phone calls, what do you say we go over some quarterback stardom situms?
All right, let's go for it, man. Let's start with the quarterbacks, Bill. Who are you starting this week? Who are you feeling good about?
I got Cam Newton as one of my starters. We're calling this Cam's last stand at ffchamps.com. If he doesn't break out of this sophomore slump against the Washington Redskins, they're dead last when it comes to passing defense, Todd. Then I don't know if Cam will ever be able to do it. I'm putting Cam Newton in my lineups. I drafted him, unfortunately, in two of the 15 leagues that I'm in. So I'm putting Cam against the Washington Redskins. Again, Redskins dead last when it comes to stopping the pass. Some other quarterbacks I like this week, Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions and Josh Freeman of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hey, if you like Josh Freeman, why not Mike Williams?
I'm not saying I don't like Mike Williams. I like Mike Williams. I just think Hakeem Nicks is the more likely to have a better game. Right, I'm playing the odds on this one.
We'll see. You don't want to face the wrath of Taylor. If Nicks doesn't produce this week, you know Taylor's calling back next week, and she's gunning for you, buddy.
Yeah, she sounds very alarmed.
She gets angry. She gets angry with her players.
Yeah.
She gets angry. She was not happy with MJD.
Alarmed was putting it nicely.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said alarmed was putting it nicely.
Yeah, she's into it, man. She takes this stuff seriously. She's number two seed in her league, so she needs Nicks to go
off. That's crazy.
Bill, who are you sitting at quarterback this week?
I'm sitting Ryan Fitzpatrick taking on the dominant Houston Texans defense. Todd, that's a no-brainer, right?
That's a no-brainer for two reasons. They're playing Houston number one, which is the most dominant reason. But then number two, what happens to Fitzpatrick? Your quote, Bill, you've been saying it all year long.
Winter's
as the
coming.
Season goes on, winter.
I knew it happens every year with the Buffalo Bills, and it happens every year since Ryan Fitzpatrick took over. He's hot in September, midway through October, and then all of a sudden, once the cold weather starts, he starts slowing down. The Buffalo Bills offense comes to a grinding halt once that Buffalo winter is in full force. Mid-November, you'll see the Buffalo Bills scoring 3, 6, 9, maybe the occasional 10-point games, but that's it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, who are the other quarterbacks you're sitting this week?
I'm going to sit Andrew Luck against the Miami defense. The Dolphins are actually pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. Look at the stats. And then I'm also sitting Carson Palmer against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Here's one dilemma I'm in. I'll give you a personal lineup story for this week.
I'm going to play a little bit of Bill Adamas here and predict that you have Tom Brady and you're benching him and you're thinking of picking up Andrew Luck or Carson Palmer.
Close. I have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I have Ryan Fitzpatrick. I have Andrew Luck. I have three quarterbacks. You start two of them. Tom Brady's on bye this week, buddy. Guess who I'm stuck with?
Andrew Luck and Ryan Fitzpatrick, two of my bench guys.
And there's 10 teams in this league. We all have three quarterbacks. There's no quarterbacks. I mean, there's no one to grab.
Not as good as what I get, Todd.
What
do you got?
I have to start Skelton.
Oh.
But I also I got Matt Moore today just in case he starts.
Nah, so, I think Tannehill's playing, dude.
Yeah, so I'm stuck with the Skelton, as I call him.
Oh, yeah.
Because Brady's
not
on a bye.
Not good for you.
You have to start two quarterbacks just like you, 10-team league. Every team has, like, three quarterbacks. It was between Skelton and Bill's boy Blaine Gabbert, and that was pretty much it.
Gross.
So I picked Skelton because he was going against Green Bay, and Green Bay made Gabbert look half decent last week.
The top two quarterbacks for me to grab in this league are Tim Tebow and Colin Kaepernick. That's how deep this league is.
Yeah, mine's very
two non-starters.
Yeah, exactly. Every starter's accounted for, so
there's
nothing I can do. Even Nick Foles is gone if I wanted to try to go that direction. So, all right, well, moving on from the quarterbacks, Bill, let's go to the running backs. And this is someone we just talked about with the caller, Taylor. Willis McGahee, a good start this week.
He's coming off a 122-yard effort against the New Orleans Saints. He's on pace to have another 1,000-yard season just like he did last year. He's going to actually, if you're in a PPR league, Willis McGahee's on pace to finish in the top 10 for PPR league, not known for his receiving skills, but with Peyton Manning under center, we've seen a whole new Willis McGahee, and I think he's going to have a great week against the Cincinnati Bengals. They're getting plowed every week for 124 rushing yards a game. I think McGahee goes off once again.
I love him. I mean, I tell you what, this is a balanced offense, Bill, and You know, we always talk about having a workhorse running back, workhorse running back. I like the fact that McGahee gets 17, 18, you know, carries a game. He doesn't have to get 25 because the defense is guessing because they throw on first down. They do things that confuse teams. McGahee, you know, his rushes come at great times. Peyton Manning puts him in a good situation with his, you know, on-the-field play calling. And McGahee's going to be solid the rest of the year. I think they're going to keep him fresh. I mean, the guy's 31 years old. He should be done by now.
Right.
You know, he had the terrible knee injury back in college. Look at him now. That's good news for a guy like Marcus Lattimore in the college game, South Carolina. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of our audience saw that gruesome injury. Ooh. The good news for him is to look at Willis McGahee, where he is 10 years later, you know, top 10 running back in the league.
Let me just say this. If you have McGahee, it is crucial you get Ronnie Hillman on your squad as that handcuff. Boy, did that rookie look good on Sunday night against
the Saints. He's getting healthy, Bill. You know, he's a rookie I loved, and he was hurt the first month or so of the year. He's healthy, and they give him a couple snaps here and there. He's electric. He's a great, great change of pace right now for McGahee. I totally agree with you. If McGahee were to go down, and he is an older guy, Hillman's the man to back him up.
All right, some other running backs that I like this week, Todd. Reggie Bush taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Doug Martin had a monstrous performance against the Minnesota Vikings last week. He's taking on the Oakland Raiders. And then Mikel LeShore for the Detroit Lions playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those are the running backs I do like. The running backs I don't like, Ahmad Bradshaw of the Giants taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chris Johnson of the Titans playing against the Chicago Bears, and then Michael Turner, the burner, formerly known as the burner, we should say, is playing against the Dallas Cowboys. So those are the three running backs that I don't like this week.
All right, let's move over to the wide receivers, Bill. We talked about it. It's about time Steve Smith wakes up and finds the end zone.
Yep.
And this is the week to do it against that Redskins defense.
I put his quarterback on the start list. I'm going to put their star wide receiver on the start list. Steve Smith of the Panthers, he's averaging 100 yards over the last 2 weeks. I think he's going to be a good bet to get his first touchdown against the Washington Redskins. Again, the Redskins are dead last when it comes to stopping the pass, so I like Steve Smith. I also like Randall Cobb, the Green Bay Packers, playing against the Arizona Cardinals. And then how about Titus Young coming alive now that Detroit Lions lost Nate Burleson for the year? Titus Young, 2 touchdowns in Week 8. He's taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Week 9.
Now, this is what I like, Bill, because I talked about my plight at quarterback
right.
in the one league. In that same league, I have all three of those guys as my wide receivers.
Oh, there
plus,
you
I
go.
Have Demaryius Thomas. I'm stacked like Higgins. Or was it Strippers? Who was the guy that's stacked?
Strippers stacked wide receiver.
I'm stacked this week, buddy.
All right. Good.
Who do you not like at the wide receiver position?
I do not like Denarius Moore of the Oakland Raiders taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know Moore has scored in each of the last three games, but I think he's going to get shut down this week. Tampa Bay actually has a really good passing defense. Perhaps that's why they had to cut ties with Aqib Talib, who just wasn't performing for them anymore, especially with this four-game suspension. The Bucs actually pretty good when it comes to stopping the pass. And then I also don't like Sidney Rice taking on his former team of the Minnesota Vikings, even though they're playing in Seattle. And both of us think the Seahawks will win that game. I'm just not starting Sidney Rice on my fantasy team. Right now, Russell Wilson is too inconsistent with getting the ball into Rice's hands, and for that reason, I'm leaving him on the bench.
I agree. And the Seattle's at home. They're going to try to win this game 17-14. That's how they're winning these home games. They're winning them really close to the vest, conservative with defense and special teams, Bill. So I agree with you there. Moving on to tight end, who you got starting? Who you got sitting this week, Bill?
I like Owen Daniels of the Houston Texans. To me, he's really that number two or number three option for Matt Schaub in that passing game. You think of who he has to throw the ball to. Arian Foster out of the backfield as a running back. Andre Johnson as a wide receiver. Their other wide receiver, Kevin Walter, may be one of the best blocking wide receivers in the game, but he doesn't catch a lot of passes. Owen Daniels, really one of that part of that three-headed monster for the Houston Texans passing game. Love his matchup against the Buffalo Bills this week. I also like Jermaine Gresham of the Bengals taking on the Broncos, and in that same game, Jacob Tammy of the Broncos taking on the Bengals.
Oh, I got a chuckle here, and Kevin will chuckle too. There's two things that gets Bill fired up. Lack of 4 o'clock games on Sunday.
Yeah.
And tight end from the Packers, Jermichael Finley. You just bring up the words Jermichael Finley and watch Bill's head explode.
Not only is it going to explode this week, my vocal cords might completely collapse. If anyone is starting Jermichael Finley at this point in the season, it is clear you no longer care about your fantasy football teams. This guy has 6 receptions, Todd, in the last 3 games. He has yet to catch over 35 yards. He has yet to gain over 35 yards since week four of this season. He hasn't caught a touchdown since week one. Why are people still starting JerMichael Finley? I don't get it. Not only should you not start him, this guy doesn't belong on your roster anymore. Cut him. He's taking up space. You don't want him on your team. You look bad just by having JerMichael Finley on your fantasy football team. Get rid of him now. Don't put him in your lineups. I say it every week. I'm going to say it every week for the rest of the season. JerMichael Finley is a chump. He shouldn't be in your lineups, not or on your team.
FFChamps.com, rest of the way rankings, JerMichael Finley amongst tight ends, number 20. So you've got 19 better options. You better find somebody other than Finley.
That's how much I don't like him.
I agree.
And with a big down arrow next to him, too.
I agree, Bill. Anybody else that you want to roast at the tight end position this week?
Dennis Pitta of the Browns, not as bad as JerMichael Finley, but he just hasn't been getting it done either.
Dennis Pitta of the Ravens playing
the
Browns.
Oh, the Ravens. I'm sorry. Todd. Thanks for that correction. Yeah.
All right. There you go. You got it out of your system. JerMichael Finley segment is out of your system now.
I feel so much better right now.
There you go.
I feel like pressure has been lifted from my head. All that JerMichael Finley energy has now been released out into the radio waves of Patriots.com radio.
Hey, Bill, we got some of the details of this Patriots trade with Aqib Talib. Let's give the people the details after the break. I know we have to break here soon.
Yeah.
Why don't you head us into break, buddy?
Yeah, Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts will join us in the next segment, and then also we'll give some more details about this New England Patriots trade for Tampa Bay Buccaneer or former Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Aqib Talib. Bill and Todd coming right back at you. This is Football Nation on Patriots.com radio.
Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock now. Remember, we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance with over 100 ASC certified master technicians on staff. Utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment, plus easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out the everyday low prices on Bridgestone tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. This approval solely for the purpose of evaluating compliance with Bridgestone's co-op policy. This approval does not in any way constitute, and Bridgestone expressly disclaims, any legal opinion or representation that the ad complies with any applicable laws, rules, or regulations.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. You are listening to Patriots.com Radio. Todd DeVries, Bill Enright, hanging out with you for about another half hour here or so. Before we get to Kerry Byrd from ColdHardFootballFacts.com, Todd, what do you say we kind of give the details of this Aqib Talib trade that the New England Patriots pulled off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Interesting trade for the Patriots today, trying to shore up that secondary, trying to get Aqib Talib from the Bucs. Here are the details that are starting to roll in here. All right, the Patriots get Aqib Talib, cornerback from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Tampa Bay's seventh round draft pick in 2013. So they get a pick and they get the player for the Patriots' fourth round draft pick this spring.
Oh, interesting.
So the Patriots give up a fourth rounder, they get the player and a seventh rounder. Patriots now have a first, second, third, and 2 7th rounders in 2013. You might remember they traded their fifth rounder for Albert Haynesworth and the sixth rounder for a guy named Ocho Cinco.
How'd that work out for them?
Yeah, not too well. The Ocho Cinco thing didn't work out. The Winslow thing didn't work out. Let's hope this Talib thing works out for him.
The Haynesworth thing didn't work out.
Yeah, that didn't
Soldier.
He's a soldier that's now unemployed.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting trade for the Patriots, but they need help in that secondary. And, I give them credit for rolling the dice here. Time will tell whether it works or not. They can't get any worse in the secondary, can they?
No, they can't get worse. They can only hope to get better. And I think they do. I think this trade helps them get better. Bill Belichick, obviously, we know he's a disciplinarian. He gets his players' mentality in the game. And I think that's what Talib needs right now. And I think he's going to be a big improvement for this Patriots secondary. Absolutely.
I mean, as long as they're looking at it and their fans are looking at it as a one-year thing, just to get them through the year, you know, help this year. Because beyond this year, I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason with this guy contract-wise and everything. Just worry about this year. Can he help them? Can he help them in November, December, and January?
Yep, I think he will. All right, what do you say we bring on Kerry Byrd from Cold Hard Football Facts?
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrd does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts right here on Football Nation.
Kerry Byrd from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. You can listen to his show right here on Patriots.com Radio every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And obviously you can find all his work at ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Kerry, anything specific you want to discuss that maybe you discussed yesterday on your Patriot show? I know you had a special guest on, cough, cough, me. Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that segment?
Yesterday, I was overwhelmed by your brilliance, Bill. And so I forgot everything you said.
Well, I thought maybe you'd want to, give a shout out saying, oh, I came on the show. I did such a great job. You had a lot of fun. I thought maybe, you'd want to, build. Todd is always breaking me down. I was hoping you'd be building me up.
I'm going to build you up. But the thing is, you're the type of guy I don't think you need to be built up. You already know you're a fantasy football guru. You bring a lot to the table. We hyped you up so much yesterday. You know what I mean? I wasn't aware I had to come to the table again, Bill. You hurt me, man.
All right, what do you say we shift gears instead of talking about me? Let's talk about the Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Big matchup this weekend. Falcons, they're undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFL right now. But yet, Todd and I, we did our Football Nation power rankings a little bit earlier in the show. We didn't even have them in the top five, Kerry.
No. We had number four.
Oh, we didn't even have them in the top three, Kerry. That's what I meant to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I am not listen, the ultimate ranking is your record, right? I think we can all agree with that. They're 7-0. They're the only undefeated team in football.
Right.
So give the team their due. They're 7-0. But I'll tell you guys, they are not. We have them 3 right now in our quality stats power rankings, which isn't our opinion at Cold Hard Football Facts. It never is. It's what the stats tell us. But with that said, there's a little bit of a caveat, guys. They've played one quality opponent all year, one team with a winning record. They
Broncos.
Played the Broncos back in week 2.
Right.
And they, I don't want to say they got lucky because they won the game, but Peyton Manning, 4 interceptions all year, 3 of them in 1 quarter against the Falcons. I think he had a bad day, bit of a mulligan there, and even the great ones like Peyton Manning have those games where they, you know, just aren't at the peak of their form, and then that was that game. And then, other than that, guys, Atlanta has not played a single quality opponent all year. Their opponents this year are a combined, I believe, 18-32.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, so that they've not exactly played the iron of the NFL. I mean, that's a 360 winning percentage. They probably played the, you know, a schedule so soft. I mean, you know, a very soft schedule.
Here's the thing.
Something to do with it, guys. I'm still not, despite 7-0, I'm among, help me among those in the Cold Hard Football Facts, among those not sold yet on the Atlanta Falcons.
You are just along with me, my friend. I've been talking about this for a month with these guys. Not only are they, you know, playing inferior competition, but they're skating by, barely. I will say that it was an impressive drubbing over the Eagles, who are reeling, but they blew out the Eagles last week. But a lot of their games, Kerry, they're winning by the skin of their teeth against lower competition. They play down to the level of their competition.
Yeah, I mean, they beat, what, the Panthers by 2 and in a couple of close games like that. Here's the weakness of the Falcons, okay? They are not strong up front physically, and that's just the reality, okay? And we ran all the numbers this week on Cold Hard. We ran it on our Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. We can get all our real and spectacular picks. We size up every opponent, guys, in every game in 20 different quality stats. I mean, we do our homework, okay, for every game every week. The Falcons right now are number 9 on our offensive hog index, the number 9 offensive line in football. That's good, okay? But number 24 on our defensive hog index. The you know, 23 off defensive fronts are better than Atlanta's. If you're not good in that number, guys, you don't go to the Super Bowl. That's just history. They're not a Super Bowl-caliber defensive front right now. Number 24, rushing the football with 3.8 yards per attempt. And number 31 on run defense, guys, giving up over 5 yards per attempt on the ground. Only 22 teams in history, okay, have given up more than 5 yards per attempt on the ground, going back to the 1930s.
Wow.
So this is not a tough team up front. Where it counts. They definitely have talent. Matt Ryan, listen, a BC boy, obviously he's very bright and good-looking and talented. Can't say enough about those BC boys.
But
with that said, you know, still not proven in the playoffs. His track record is what it is. And this team, like I said, guys, not physically tough up front. And we saw that when they played a physically tough team in the playoffs last year. What happened? The Giants embarrassed them.
Yeah.
And I'm not, despite 7-0, the schedule and the problems in the trenches, I think this team is still doing it with smoke and mirrors a little bit.
I will say this, Kerry. They do find ways to win at the end of games. I give them credit for that. On the opposite side of the ledger, the team they play this week, the Cowboys, they just continually find ways to lose. So what do you make of this matchup? Will the Falcons go to 8-0 this week, or will the Cowboys actually get a win?
Well, let me tell you, we call the Dallas Cowboys America's dumbest team, right?
I love
they
it.
They used to be America's team.
I love it.
Now they're America's dumbest team. Okay, and I know, and I don't want to give away things, but being NFC East guys, I know you both love that. So being in NFC East towns, they are America's dumbest team. And the reason we say that, okay, we look at the efficiency of each team in offensive efficiency and what we call scorability, okay? And in defensive efficiency, what we call bendability. The Cowboys are 30th in offensive efficiency and 31st in defensive efficiency. These guys play stupid situational football. And let me drive this home, guys, okay? Dallas is number 7 in total offense, gaining a lot of yards. They're up there with the Packers and the Patriots and Houston and teams like that in terms of how many yards they generate. Number 23 in scoring offense, though. They're not putting the ball in the end zone. They're wasting yards. They're wasting plays. They're wasting opportunities.
Right.
Now look at the defense. Number 4 in total defense, guys. It's tough to move the ball on the Dallas Cowboys. Only 3 teams are better.
Yeah.
Okay? But number 18 in scoring defense. Again, giving up cheap points, stupid penalties, turnovers, all those things conspire to work against this team. This is a physically good team. It's a mentally weak team. But I think, guys, I think they have the physical ability to go in there and beat the Falcons. In fact, this is my upset of the week. I have the Dallas Cowboys going into Atlanta and winning this game.
Interesting.
It wouldn't surprise me, Bill. I mean, again, we're not believers in the Falcons.
No.
Cowboys are due for something good to happen.
Let me throw some numbers, guys, okay? You know they lost badly to the Bears, right, 34-18?
Right.
Dallas outgained Chicago 430 yards to 360. Okay, they played Baltimore. They lost to Baltimore. They outgained Baltimore 481 to 316 yards. They physically beat up the Baltimore Ravens. Last week against the Giants, 434 yards to 293. This is a very good, physically good team. If they can just put it together for one game, not suffer five or six turnovers as they have in a few of their losses here, they can beat good teams, guys. And I think this is the week where it comes together for them, where they don't have all those turnovers. Atlanta, we finally see that they're not physically tough up front. I really think the Cowboys can win this game.
Kerry, what are your biggest statistical, I can never say that, statistical. Mismatch this
week? Good thing you're not me. I throw that word all the time.
Yeah. So. Biggest statistical mismatch this week. Who do you got?
You know, there's a couple of pretty good ones. I think Chicago, Tennessee is obviously one, but I think, guys, obviously the big one is Buffalo at Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about Houston all year, and as I said, we size up every team in 20 different quality stats. The Texans better than the Bills in 18 of those 20. Wow. They're tied in one of them. They're tied for number four in our offensive hog index. And the only area where the Bills are better is that they average over five yards per attempt. The Texans, you know, they're an average running team actually in terms of average per attempt. So, right. But that's it. Otherwise, this is a rout by Houston, and they should win big as they have much of the year against the Buffalo Bills, especially at home.
All right, quickly before we let you go, Kerry, why don't you talk about this Patriots offensive hog dynasty, as you're calling it?
Yeah, guys, we track every offensive line on Code Hot Football Facts and our offensive hog index, and we got a great guy, Sean Maher, who writes our hog report every week, sizing up the best and worst offensive and defensive fronts in football. And then this week, my column for Sports Illustrated, my Code Hot Football Facts column for Sports Illustrated, looks at the New England Patriots offensive line dynasty, guys. They are just dominant right now, and the interesting thing is they just beat up a very good St. Louis defensive front, right? The Patriots offensive line powered that victory, dominant in every way, shape, and form in the trenches. But here's the interesting part, guys. Only two of the offensive linemen who started for the Patriots against the Rams in London started in the Super Bowl against the Giants. Just two of the five.
Wow.
They've remade this
okay.
offense. Dante Scarnecchia, who's been with the Patriots since time stood still.
Yeah.
He survives one administration after another because he produces results. And right now, he is leading, you know, the great closest thing we have to an offensive line dynasty in pro football. And right now, the Patriots easily, with the bullet, number one on our offensive hog index. It's not even close. You know, no matter who they put out there, those guys produce. They protect Tom Brady. They run the football well. They convert third downs. They do all the little things right. They don't suffer penalties. And easily the best offensive line in football. It's very impressive.
When your biggest asset is a guy by the name of Tom Brady, you better make sure that you know how to protect him the right way.
Yeah, and you know what, Bill? And listen, that's a good point. You know, Tom Brady makes that offensive line better. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if these guys were blocking, you know, Peyton Manning or Drew Brees or another elite quarterback, they would still be good. But, you know, even in 2008 when Matt Castle, a guy who hadn't played football since his high school days, they were still number nine on the offensive hog index that year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a testament to the fact that year after year, they do everything right, man. This is a very good, well-coached crew who plays fundamental football. If you like fundamental football, watch the Patriots offensive line.
All right, sounds good. And, Kerry, we do appreciate you joining us. We're going to have to let you go. You can find Kerry Byrne on Twitter, at Football Facts. Of course, he has his Cold Hard Football Facts show right here on Patriots.com radio every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're a statistical nut like Kerry is, make sure you go to coldhardfootballfacts.com. A lot of great stuff there, especially if you become a Cold Hard Insider. Kerry, we appreciate you joining us, and have a lot of fun in Week 9.
All right, gentlemen, you too. Have a good evening.
Kerry is a non-believer in the Falcons like us.
I was just going to say, it's crazy how he does all his numbers and breaks down all the stats and looks at all these different statistical mismatches and qualitative numerical algebra stuff. And then we come out and say, well, it's our opinion that the Falcons are not really legit. And we basically have the same conclusion as Kerry does, except that we're just kind of going off of our personal beliefs.
Here's the deal. And this is I'm stating the obvious here. But if the Falcons had a track record of winning in the playoffs, I'd have a different opinion about them, you know?
Yeah.
We'd probably be saying, hey, they're just finding ways to win. You know what I mean? They have zero playoff track record with this group of guys. They can't do anything in the playoffs. The Giants crushed them last year. Were they have 2 points in that game?
Yep, two points.
You know, it's different. If they had the playoff track record to back them up, you'd give them benefit of the doubt. They do not, and I'm just not a believer. I do not see them, even if they get a bye in the first round, which is looking very likely at this point in time, they only have to win 2 games in the playoffs. I could easily see some other team coming in there to the Dome and taking them down. They have to prove it to me, Bill.
Couple more minutes left in the show, Todd. I believe we have one quick fantasy football caller. And again, if you want to quickly call us, 508-298-0398. If you're listening to this show live, if you're listening to it on demand via the podcast, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. We'll do our best to answer your questions on Twitter. Again, it's at FFChamps if you're listening to the show on the podcast. Let's bring in our friend, my paisano, Olivier, all the way down there in Virginia. What's going on, my man? Thanks for calling back in.
Olivier, are you there, my friend?
Olivier,
It means good evening.
Hey, what's up, my man? How's it going?
How are you? By the way,
how did the hurricane affect you? You're down there in Virginia. Did you get snow, rain, wind?
We had some bad winds and so forth, but luckily we didn't get hit like the guys in New York or New Jersey. I have some colleagues that their kitchen has 4 feet of water in their houses. It's terrible. So
yeah.
It's been pretty bad. So thanks for asking. What about you guys? Everything okay?
Yeah, it's been okay here. Bill's had some power outages where he is, but we made it through.
Okay. But we're fine, luckily.
Excellent.
So what do you got
thanks
for us,
taking
Olivia?
My call again. And
yeah, you got it.
The first question I have for you, Bill, is what is the capital of Sweden?
Sweden, Denmark.
That's a country.
Oh, Denmark's a country.
Yes.
The capital of Sweden
is... Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Oh, yeah!
Kevin plays that soundbite to give Bill just enough time to Google it.
Stockholm.
Exactly.
Stockholm.
Very good. You're very fast at Googling.
It's amazing. It's amazing how well Todd knows me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 2-2. Very good. Every time I call, you know your stuff. Fantastic. We're making progress. So anyway,
it's called
doing
teamwork,
my best
Bill.
I can.
I buy my boy time.
Yeah, you're the offensive line. You allow Bill to throw a perfect pass.
That's right.
Excellent. Hey, listen, guys. First of all, I wanted to thank you for your help last week.
Okay.
We kicked butt. I made some tweaks to your recommendation. I didn't start Antonio Brown, and I was lucky enough to do it. But
yeah, you were.
What
we were wrong
really
on that
helped
one.
Was the Raiders' defense. They really kicked butt. So it was great. So now here's a new challenge for us this week. I'm thinking that, I dropped Aaron Rodgers against the Cardinals. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I can get him back. But I'm thinking of Philip Rivers against the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs. I was wondering if you would bless this choice or you would recommend maybe, I don't know, Stafford as a quarterback or Ryan or even Vic for that matter. So I was just wondering what you thought. Then the next one I have is Peyton Manning, which I'm going to leave because I think is going to play well against Cincinnati. What comments do you have on the QBs?
Well, we actually love Peyton Manning this week. He's our number one quarterback on our rankings at FFChamps.com. But Mike Vick, if Mike Vick wasn't playing so poorly the last couple
of
weeks,
it makes sense.
We would have him much higher because he is taking on the New Orleans Saints defense, which is ranked 31st when it comes to stopping the pass. Redskins are the last in the league. The New Orleans Saints are 32nd in the league, or 31st in the league. So I would love to tell you to play Mike Vick, but Todd, I mean, what do you think?
It's a roll of dice. I mean, Bill, you said earlier in the show, this is Cam's last stand as far as, you know, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
In the minds of fantasy managers everywhere. Same thing with Vick. I mean, this is literally his last stand.
What about Rivers? Do you think he's going to do well at home against the Chiefs that actually have
tonight,
been a bit more?
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, that's a game that I would really not want to play. I can't get a good read on Philip Rivers. He's taking on a really bad defense in the Kansas City Chiefs. They're ranked 26 when it comes to stopping the pass.
So
but Rivers
go,
is another guy. Mike, throw him in the
Rodgers
hat with
then?
Mike Vick and Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He's a guy that is just has the talent around him. He's just not performing.
Do you believe in Ryan Matthews and Matt Fortes for running backs this week?
Yes.
Okay.
Both
what about
those guys
wide
should have
receivers,
good games.
Randall Cobb and Titus Young?
I like Cobb and I like Titus Young. Both of those guys, one of the up-and-coming stars of the NFL, certainly throughout this 2012 season. Titus Young is a guy that's going to get a lot of targets now that Nate Burleson's out for the Detroit Lions.
What about for tight ends? Do you like Dennis Pitta against Cleveland?
I don't like Dennis Pitta this week. He was one of the players that we had on our sit list.
Sure. Okay. Who would you get? Antonio.
I would love to get have you get your hands on Owen Daniels or even Heath Miller for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Is Gates available?
Yeah, I can get Gates. I can get Brendan Myers, Scott Chandler as well.
Oh, I like Gates tonight. If you plan on using Philip Rivers, then I don't plan on using Antonio Gates. I don't want to see you stack your lineup with too many Chargers. But I like Gates, and I know you're in one of those salary cap leagues, so you might want to try Owen Daniels or Heath Miller. They may come out of a lower premium.
Yeah, and what about the kicker? Would you take Connor Barth or would you take what's the other good one? The guy that. That kicks for Houston, Shane Graham.
Oh, Shane Graham. I like Shane Graham a lot this week. Number two on our rankings at ffchamps.com, taking on the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. I think the Texans absolutely take it to hardcore to the Bills this weekend. I would put Graham in your lineup.
And the final question before I let you go.
Yeah.
Defenses. I've got the Colts, the Jags, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Titans, or the Saints. We'll forget the Saints. But I was wondering if I should stick with the Raiders or maybe go with a Colts.
I would not go with the Colts. I would not go with the Jaguars. Raiders or the Chiefs, that to me is a toss-up. Maybe you go with the Chiefs only because Phillip Rivers has a tendency to turn the ball over.
Yeah, that's true. He throws picks, doesn't he?
Yeah,
those
does.
Aren't great options.
So contrarian, picking him as a quarterback and then the Chiefs as a defense, hoping it doesn't, it's an interesting strategy. It worked out last week. But that's good. All right, well, I think I'm set for tonight. But, what do I do with Ryan Matthews? Because he's a great running back, again, for the San Diego Chargers.
So I plug him in.
Plug him in. Yeah. Get him in there.
Yeah, think so? So I have to get rid of Rivers then, Okay. Yeah,
right. Don't go with Phillip Rivers. Antonio Gates, I should say. I think I called him Phillip Gates before.
Yeah.
Antonio Gates, Phillip Rivers, Ryan Matthews, only play one of those three. So if you're going with Ryan Matthews, don't play Gates or Rivers.
Okay. And who do you recommend for quarterback then? If it's not Rivers, would you go with maybe Stafford?
Yeah, I like Stafford.
Yeah,
against Stafford Jacksonville, that's not bad.
Against Jacksonville, great matchup. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Well,
hey Olivier,
and you guys have to adjourn. I appreciate your help, and I'll talk to you next week. I wish you
Olivier,
a great weekend.
Before you go,
Olivier, yes. You got to tell them that you're not Italian.
That's not true. Let me tell you my.
You can speak
my
Italian.
History.
I'm actually very interested.
My family is Italian from the south of Italy, from Puglia, the heel of the boot.
Okay.
I was born in Belgium.
Okay.
That's why I have a French name. That's the story.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And my mom actually arrived from Italy last week, and she brought the fresh olive oil, and as she always does when she comes over, she will be making some waffles. And you can ask Kevin.
Yeah, Olivier's actually mailed us waffles.
Yeah, so I will
really?
Be doing this pretty soon, and you guys will have a batch as well for the show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Waffles, probably one of my favorite breakfast foods.
Excellent. So you'll have that for the show maybe next week or the following week.
And I look forward to your next geography question. And Olivier, you're a great caller. We love having you on.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Take care. Best of luck in week 9. Todd, those are the kind of people that we want calling into the show. People that are willing to send us waffles. All gifts are accepted by all of us here. Kevin likes gifts. Todd likes gifts. I certainly love gifts. So we want those kind of callers here on Patriots.com radio.
Send us your perishable foods.
How about on Shark Tank a couple weeks ago? That guy had the energized waffles. Did you see that?
We actually, though, guys, he sent up a box, right? And I have this box sitting on my desk up here at the stadium. And I'm like, what is this? And I had to peel through layer and layer and layer of, like, wax paper and this, that. And they were, like, really nicely wrapped. And we put them in the toaster oven, and Andy Hart just devoured about, like, 7 of them. And
yeah,
they were really good.
I will
and,
do the
same. And then, ever since that day, I feel bad for poor Olivier because whenever he calls up, Andy's like, how's your mom's waffles? So, he just took it to such a bad place for a guy, such a nice guy that did a nice thing for us.
He is a super nice guy. I like him a lot.
And Kevin, you did save Bill's butt there with the little sound bite.
My new alias, Philip Gates.
Now, Todd is referring to when I was looking up the capital of Sweden.
I had to give Philip Gates in
you
there.
You could hear Bill's fingers typing away, Googling the answer to the question.
Those big old sausage hands typing on that keyboard.
Yeah,
what was the question? Sweden, right? The capital of Sweden?
You don't even remember.
Yeah.
What did I say? Denmark?
You said Denmark, which is a country.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He goes, actually, that's a country. Like, I'm such an idiot. Like, people must think, well, good thing this guy only talked about football. If he was talking about politics, they wouldn't listen for 5 seconds. I think the capital of Sweden is another country.
That was pretty good.
Bill. All in a day's work, guys.
Well, we love you, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so what do you say we wrap up this week
Please.
9 episode of Football Nation? Both of you guys, as I understand, are okay after Hurricane Sandy. Glad to hear that. What do you guys have planned for the Patriots bye week? Are you doing anything special, Kevin?
I'm heading down to Cape Cod, actually. Going to get a little R&R this weekend with a rare weekend off.
Good for you.
Well, last week you were out on a boat out in the Atlantic.
I was tuna fishing, and that's working. So I was actually cutting and gutting mackerel and herring for, like, you know, 15 hours straight and spraying their guts in a radius around a large boat. You know,
you don't hire someone to do that for you?
No, that's me.
Oh.
Big boy.
He is the hired help.
I am the hired help, and unfortunately all we caught were giant blue sharks, so no tuna success. Because when you get one of those, it pays, you know, pays big time if you can get one of those. We had one.
The fight is worth it, or the food afterwards?
Well, no. We sell them to you sell them to Japan, and we had one in 2010 that was 783 pounds, which netted over $15,000 for three of us.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're like that show.
What's that show
up there in?
Wicked Tuna.
Yeah, Wicked Tuna.
We fish the same way. You have, like, balloons out on the water.
Right.
And, like, it's just, like, you know, it's a sight to behold to see this balloon just go ripping across the water at 40 miles an hour when you get one. It's awesome.
So you were out there right before the storm hit.
Yeah, right? we were out there on Saturday, like, really early in the morning.
Like, major waves or anything?
At night it started to pick up, and then we started to run in like little girls, the three of us.
Yeah, obviously.
I thought it was going to be far more bumpy on the way in than it actually was. We were going about 27 knots, which is a pretty good clip. So we were cutting through it, but it definitely, I wouldn't have wanted to stay out there another like 2 or 3 hours because you could tell it was starting to change big.
How big's your boat?
The one we took out, it's like a family operation. The one we took out on Saturday was about 25 feet.
Oh, nice.
So it's good size, and it definitely moves. I wouldn't have wanted to be in anything smaller, but we have a couple of the real big commercial ones that are like 75 to 100 feet.
Are you serious?
Those guys go out to like George's Bank, which is where like the Perfect Storm guys went.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And those guys go out for like a week at a time. And most of the guys on those boats are hired hands. And, you know, my uncles and cousins that used to deckhand those boats have since had families. And once you have a family, you don't want to put yourself in that position. So you sort of just own the boat and manage the business as opposed to going out there.
Right.
Because anything can happen. So
of course.
But yeah, so I went fishing and it was a blast. And even though we didn't catch any tuna, it's hard to believe. It was like 65 degrees and sunny.
Nice.
And I'm out there in the middle of the Atlantic in almost November in shorts and a T-shirt, just
Love
like,
it.
You know, chumming. So it was awesome.
That's cool. Good for you. Glad you had fun, and now you get some R&R, as you said.
And I'm glad you guys are safe.
Cod.
That's the most important thing. Forget the fishing. I'm glad you guys are safe.
Yeah, that's another discussion for another show.
It's been a long week.
It's been a very long week. Yeah.
Especially for Bill. He's been scrambling to get internet and power.
And we got to give props to Bill for just getting on the air today, too. I mean, tremendous effort.
Yeah, I'm live from Brielle's playroom today.
Tremendous effort from Bill Enright this week.
Thanks.
Have you been playing with the Barbies the whole time you've been doing the show?
I've been playing with a lot of, you know, the toys are so much different than when I was growing up.
Yeah, they're so much better.
They're so much better. It's amazing what this little girl has. She has, like, this keyboard thing that lights up when I hit it. Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Didn't use the keyboard during the show.
Bill's doing the show live from, like, a dollhouse, just sitting Indian style in the middle of a dollhouse.
Having a tea party.
Hey, at least
all right, I think on that note, we're going to wrap up the show.
Oh, please.
Great job by all our guests today. Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts, Albert Breer. We want to thank both of those guys for joining us. Excellent job by our producer, Kevin Collins. Todd, Todd or Kevin, any last words before we close out the show?
Capital of Sweden.
Yeah, capital of Sweden.
What is it, though?
Stockholm.
There you go.
Not Denmark.
Good job, Bill. And just that all our thoughts and prayers are with all the people in New Jersey and New York and everyone affected by this mess that happened this past week.
Absolutely,
man. Yep.
Great way to put it, Kevin. And we appreciate you joining us on Football Nation. Have a lot of fun in Week 9. Enjoy the Patriots bye week. Watch some of the other NFL games, some good ones here in Week 9. And we'll catch you next week at Fantasy Football Champs every Tuesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Todd and I also host this show every Thursday, 4 to 6. This is Football Nation. For Bill Enright, Todd DeRees, and Kevin Collins, thanks for listening. Have fun Week 9.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.